Psalm 133 and verse 1, David says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And I want you to know this morning that I believe that. Don't you? That it's best that we live together, that we work together, that we achieve common bonds, common goals as brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, you've heard me and other people stand before you and preach unity on occasions. We need to be united as a group of God's people. You know, I think that as we go through this ordeal with the coronavirus, we are going to see people come together who generally do not come together. We witnessed a tremendous coming together yesterday within our own country, within our own Congress. Democrats and Republicans worked together to pass a bill to make life easier for those who are having trouble with this disease. And they are on the other sides of the table from each other and do not talk to one another generally. And they work together to do this. Maybe that is a blessing that we have, that they actually can work together. We're finding countries unite over this. China, which is now getting a handle on their problem with coronavirus, is sharing with the world the things that they did that helped them overcome it. And they're freely giving that information out. The countries of Germany and Italy are now sharing with us what we have ahead of us and what they are going through, helping us to learn how to cope with it and deal with it as it goes through its process. So there are many ways that we can unite as people. But I want to suggest to you this morning, my friends, that unity is something that is demanded of us as Christians. The Apostle Paul talks about unity in Romans chapter 6 and verse 5. He says that we have been united together in the likeness of His death. Certainly we shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. He talked about a oneness that we should have as God's people, as a part of the kingdom. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 3, he said, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." So we are to unite together under any circumstance as brothers and sisters in Christ. And the Scriptures teach us time and time again that we are to have unity with one another. But I want to bring to your attention on one occasion in world history where unity did not turn out to be a good thing. In Genesis chapter 11, I'd like for us to start reading with verse 1. "Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth.' But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, 'Indeed, these people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose will be withheld from them.'" Here is a group of people that, for whatever reason, they are united. They have the same mind, they have the same goal, they have the same understanding. They're all wanting to achieve the same thing. Now, when God looks down upon this, He is not happy with what He sees. Now, God does not have a problem with the fact that they are practicing unity, because, again, we find it throughout the Scripture, God wants His people to be united. But what God did have a problem with was the goal that they had set for themselves. Verse 4 tells us that their goal was to make a name for themselves. And in doing so, they left God out of the picture. You know, we have a lot of people today who act the very same way. They want to have their way in things. And it doesn't matter what the person sitting next to them or the person across the hall, across the street, across the state thinks. They want their way. And they'll do what they can to get their way. They're not looking for unity. You know, we need to read this story a little farther. People who demand their way need to be careful what they ask for. Because if you will notice, as we have read earlier, they were thinking about the time when they may become scattered and separated from one another. They named their own punishment right there in that verse, because that's exactly what God did to them. Let's read on in verse 7. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. God took away their unity. He took away what He has preached for us to have throughout the ages of time, because they were using their unity for the wrong reason. Now, turn with me over to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Paul is going to talk about unity here, and he's going to do so in a different way. Philippians 1 verse 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or whether I am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul is still preaching unity, but he is saying it needs to be according to the gospel of Christ. Yes, we want you to be together. Yes, we want you to be united. We want you to have the same mind. We want you to have the same goal, but through the Word of God, and not according to your own desires, your own wants, and your own passions. Be sure that what you do, it is according to the Word of God. Our unity must be based upon the Word of God if we are going to be pleasing to God. Now, I don't have to tell you this morning, we can do a lot of things here at Dawson Road to bring unity. We can go beyond the confines of the Bible, and we could bring people in here by the hundreds. But it wouldn't be according to God's Word. Churches do this all the time. But if we want God on our side, if we want to honor God and glorify God, we must grow this congregation according to His Word and no other way. And I can promise you, God would rather have 10 people sitting in this room abiding by His will than to have 1,000 people sitting in this room who didn't. So whatever we do, we need to be sure we do it according to the will of God. Now, what I want to do this morning, very quickly, is think of some ways that we can achieve Christian unity according to God's will. First of all, we need to look forward and not backward. You know, Paul was a great example of this. When he was writing the book of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 3, he began to tell about how he used to persecute the church, how he would torture the people, he would chain the people, he would put them in prison, and even consent to their death. And he admitted all of this. He also admitted about his past, of his wealth and of his prestige, because he was a Jewish leader in every way. Very knowledgeable, very educated man. And then he goes on to say this. With all of his prestige and with all of this wealth that he had beforehand, he counted it all as rubbish. Philippians 3 verse 8, yet indeed I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. You see, being united with Christ was more important to him than everything he ever had in the world, everything that he had ever achieved as a Jewish leader, everything that he had ever done, period, was nothing compared to being Christ-like in his life. And that is exactly what we must do in our lives. He goes on to say in verse 12, "But I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me." I know where my future is. I know where I need to go. I know where I need to be. And he did everything that he possibly could. And that's exactly what you and I need to do today. We need to forget the past, whether it be great or whether it be poor, and move ahead to things that bring us closer to God. The second thing we need to do is get involved. There have been many studies done as to why some churches grow in great ways and some churches do not. And the key factor in every case, whether you do or whether you don't, is member involvement. You want Dawson Road to grow? You want us to be what we can be? Get involved. We have about maybe 15% of our congregation that does 90% of the work here. And that's pretty much standard throughout the brotherhood. Just imagine if we all put our hands into the fire, what we could accomplish at this congregation. The more you get involved in the congregation, the more it becomes a part of your life, the more important it becomes to you, and the greater you will have a desire to see it do well. That's why we need to get involved. And as a result, not only will you grow spiritually stronger, the church will grow stronger and become far greater an influence on the society around it. You know, some people are convinced that they have absolutely nothing to give to the church. There's nothing that I can do. There's nothing that I can say that would promote Christianity. And they'll say things like, "Well, I'm too old," or "I'm too young," or "There are people who can do it better than I can." But you leave out one fact, and that is that you can do something. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or where you're going. There is something that you can do for God. There is something that you can do for Christ. There is something that you can do for this church. And it doesn't matter if you're 9 years old or if you're 92, if you're a Christian, there is something that you can do. And that is what we must do, what we can do for the church. You know, this excuse making, and believe me, Terry and I hear it all the time. Why we can't do this, why you need to get somebody else, and why I need to step back and let somebody else do this. We hear it all the time. But you know, our generation did not start this. Listen to this. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. This is from Moses, which is considered to be one of the greatest leaders that has ever lived. "Oh, my Lord." That has a bad beginning, doesn't it, right there? "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent of speech. Before nor since have you spoken to me, your servant, but I am slow of speech, slow of tongue." And what Moses is saying, God is trying to get him to go to Egypt to bring up the children of Israel. "God, I can't do this. I can't talk to Pharaoh." No, who knows him better than Moses? Moses lived in Pharaoh's house. It was going to be a reunion for Moses when he went back. Who knew those people better? No one. Who could have done a better job in bringing the children of Israel out? No one. God knew that. God also knew that when Moses got there, that Aaron wouldn't get a chance to talk because Moses would do it all once he got started. It was an excuse. "I don't want to get involved. I don't want to be a part of this. Let my brother do it." But it wasn't just Moses. Jeremiah chapter 1, Jeremiah did the very same thing. He said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am but a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go and do all to whom I shall send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak." God is with him. God is going to see to it that he says the right thing, that he does the right thing. Yes, you can do it. Yes, you can work. Yes, you can get involved, regardless of who you are. And like I say, Dawson Road can grow, even in today's age, with all of this worldliness and all of this sin that is sitting outside our door. We can grow. But we all have to get involved with it. Paul teaches us that every one of us that make up the body of Christ, we have a purpose. We have a function. Every single person in this room has a function as a child of God, regardless of who you are. And it may be something that you think is seemingly insignificant. But do you know, every one of us can pick up a telephone and call someone and say, come to church with me. There's not a one in here that can't do that. There's no one in here that can't encourage someone to become a better Christian, to be a better Christian, to serve God in a better way. We can all do that, regardless of who you are. You may not preach or teach or lead singing or any of those things, but there is something that you can do to encourage one another, to help us move forward, and to help us be what we can be. We must use our abilities to glorify God. And then finally, to ensure unity, we must learn how to love one another. You know, that's probably one of the hardest things for us to do. And every one of us in this room know how to love. Most of us in this room are married. We know how to love our spouses. Most of us in this room have children. We know how to love our children. All of us in this room have neighbors. We know how to love our neighbors. We're told in the Scripture how to do these things. But for some reason or the other, we have difficulty loving one another. Peter gives us, I think, what is a perfect definition of how we need to love one another. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reveling for reveling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you inherit a blessing. Did you catch that last part? Knowing that you were called to this. God has called you to love. He didn't call you to hate. He didn't call you to despise. He didn't call you to have bad feelings toward one another. He called you to love, to have compassion, as he puts it here in verse 8. And again, this is the perfect definition. We need to learn to have compassion for one another. Now, that word compassion, and I looked it up, and it means to be sympathetic. It means to be understanding with what your fellow brother or sister may be going through. Paul put it like this in Romans 12, verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And the next thing Peter tells us here in this passage is that we need to love as brothers. In other words, we need to love like we're a family. Because you know we are. We are a family of God. Now, in this room, we can understand brotherly, sisterly love because most of us have brothers and sisters. I did not have the privilege of growing up with a brother or a sister. My sister passed away when I was at the age of 3, and I virtually have no memory of her whatsoever. And I had a couple of cousins that I was close to, and I thought of them as a brother and a sister, but I really did not understand brotherly, sisterly love. That is, until I watched it through my own 2 children. The love they have for one another is immeasurable. Oh, they fought like cats and dogs. But they would fight for the other one like a cat and a dog. That's brotherly, sisterly love. And it continues on today. I feel sorry for Alan. Sometimes he's caught in the middle. We need to have that kind of love. And we are supposed to have that kind of love. Christian love. Next, he tells us to be tender-hearted. That means we need to be kind. We need to be considerate. He also tells us that we need to be courteous. Perhaps a better word here would be humble-minded. Not thinking of yourself more highly, as the Scriptures tell us. When we compare ourselves to everybody else, we think of ourselves as better. We know folks that do that. This is not the way of Christ. Christ never did this in his own life. He never taught that to his disciples. We need to learn humility. And then finally, Peter says, not to return evil for evil or reveling for reveling. Yes, we live in a wicked world. We live in a world where people are going to do whatever they can to you, not for you, but to you. The Christian responds in the opposite way. We treat anger with happiness. We treat evil with goodness. Have you ever noticed that when someone just really gets belligerent with you and you're very soft and very kind in return, they don't know how to handle that? Someone who's ready to get mad and fly off the handle, they don't know how to deal with someone who was calm in return. They don't know how to respond to that. That's how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to have that understanding and return that good for evil. You know, we live in a society that loves revenge. Oh, I'll get him. I'll get back at him. And some people say, I don't want to get even. I want to get ahead. That's not a Christian attitude. Not at all. You know, Jesus tells us to bless those who curse us. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and abuse you. Matthew 5:44. That's the Christian. That's how we reach the goal of unity. That's how we come together. That's how we stay together. That's how we do it through the Lord's way. So, even though the people at Babel were together in mind and spirit, they did not have the mind of spirit of God. And we can achieve that unity. God wants us to have unity, but it must be according to His Word. And it comes from looking ahead and not back. It comes from getting involved as a child of God for the good of Christianity, for the good of the church, and by loving and caring for one another. If we are willing to do these things, we can accomplish some great things for God and for His kingdom. Today, Christian, are you united? Are you united with God? Are you united with God's family? Or have you let something get in the way and it caused you to leave God and His love? You need to reunite today and come back to God and unite with His family once again. If you're not a Christian, you can unite with Him today through obedience to the gospel of Christ. We give you an opportunity to do that. If you need to respond, please come while we stand and sing.